Hey, this is William for AttackOfTheFanboy.com. We're finally at day one, Kyle.
It is day one.
It feels like it's been a while, but we have finally made it to day one of E3 2017, and I really feel bad for you.
I was exhausted at the beginning of the day, and at the end, even more so.
That's usually the case. I mean, no matter if they let 15,000 extra people in or not, it's exhausting. Just trying to get from appointment to appointment, doing stuff like that. But we are here to talk about the stuff that you saw today, which was some pretty big stuff. You went and visited Sony, and you went and visited Nintendo.
Yep.
Got a chance to play some new video games.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with that game that you assumed or were trying to tell me yesterday.
Game of the show?
Was, no.
Oh.
You're trying to tell me one of the games that helped Sony win E3.
Oh, Days Gone.
Days Gone. You got a presentation for that. Are they letting people play that?
No. It is all hands off.
I bet they're letting people play it somewhere.
Probably. Not me, though. I mean, it was played in front of me. It was a live demo.
Okay.
And it was running through the same scenario as the video that they showed at the E3 showcase. But they're kind of trying to show you how dynamic the world is, because it was a very different experience. It was the same mission, but each step of the way was very different. So if you thought that mission was very scripted, it actually wasn't. I'm sure that they put some extra polish on it to make it, you know, look better. The fighting wasn't as clean in this version, but in terms of the step-by-step process, that was not necessarily scripted. It's a very dynamic world, and it, just in the fact of weather, it was in our demo, it was snowing, very heavily snowing, and he came out at a different time of day, so as they pointed out, like, the wolves weren't there, if you remember, the wolves that kind of chased him on his motorcycle and ran him into the trap. That didn't happen. Instead, he was driving down the road. The wolves weren't there. So he was able to look down the road, and he saw the trap, pulled off, and kind of took that group on in a different way.
So it's a more dynamic game.
Yeah.
Was that what they were pushing? Mm-hmm. They're like, we don't want you to think this is... Because from what they've shown in the press conferences... so far, it's still kind of hard to understand what that game is. It's open world. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it go anywhere, do anything? Is that what it is?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's still missions that, you know, obviously. But yeah, it's a pretty open world, and it's a dynamic time and weather system that is going to, change the way that you take on everything that you run into.
What was your takeaway from it? Were you impressed? Is this something that you're going to play? This is not by Naughty Dog.
No, it's by Bend Studio, I can't place that name. I don't know that they've done any other major titles, but maybe I'm blanking on that. It feels
Sony Bend has been around.
Have they? Okay.
I think Sony Bend since 1993.
Well, I'm just not placing the name then.
Days Gone is their biggest thing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it feels like a Last of Us mixed with...
They did the Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Kyle. One of the best games of our last generation. Resistance Retribution.
So they were... Mainly
Uncharted Fight for Fortune
DLC type stuff, and now they're
Siphon Filter.
They're making their own. Oh, Siphon Filter was a quality title back in the PS1 days.
Yeah, and then they went into hibernation and said, "Well, we're going to put you guys on Vita."
Well, either way, I mean, Days Gone still looks really good. I can see. It's not a unique game. It is an amalgamation of a lot of stuff that we see in other titles. It feels like a Last of Us.
It kind of looks like The Last of Us.
It feels like The Last of Us mixed with Horizon, mixed with Far Cry, or that Ubisoft open world formula. There's a bit of that, but I think it builds itself its own niche in a lot of the ways that you can take on challenges. Like they pointed out, you know, in that demo, you had that, they call them freakers. They're apparently not zombies. They're alive.
They're called freakers?
Called freakers, yeah.
Freakers?
Freakers.
Seems like a weird name.
They're not zombies. They are alive. You will, in fact, run into them drinking, from what they said.
Look out for them freakers. So, sounds like something a drunken hillbilly would say. Oh, freakers are coming.
I mean, did you see the main character? He is a drunken hillbilly. Biker kind of guy.
Damn freakers got into our shit again.
So, obviously I can't say any of this off of one demo, but just, you know, from what they said, it seems like they're trying to build their own area in this genre, and I think it seems to be working. The way that you set up these traps and, you know, lured that guy into the bear trap was pretty cool. And then he, you know, did that very differently in this demo. Instead of just walking by those people, he actually made a Molotov cocktail and hit him with it and killed one of the other guys, and then went in a totally different direction to reach that in-game area where he didn't run into the large group of freakers, which apparently wouldn't have been there anyway because of the time of day. There's a lot of, you know, it seems like they're building a very interesting world with the, this is something that you don't see a lot with zombie games. Zombie games are kind of getting played out, but this is delivering those large groups. If you remember the first trailer, which they told us was more of an end-game scenario, this current trailer is more like middle of the game sort of area. And, mm-hmm. you know, the amazing amount of zombies or freakers that can be on screen and the way that they move is really interesting. So I'm following it. I'm picking up what they're putting down.
You're gonna keep up with it?
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, I mean, it looked good. It looked good from what I saw. I would definitely play it and give it a shot just because of how much it resembles The Last of Us or some of the mechanics in that game. But alongside having those massive groups of zombies, groups of zombies are always fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're a hit. I like Dead Rising.
Yeah.
It'd probably be pretty cool. Like when he opened that gate and those things flooded in there, that was kind of a cool moment.
Yep.
But you also saw some other stuff at Sony. That wasn't the only thing they were showing. You got to see something that I'm really curious about in Detroit Become Human.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a Quantic Dream game.
It is. It's a Quantic Dream, David Cage. Oh, what do you call them? Masterpiece or shit show?
That's not quite the depending on quite what the word I just used.
What they end up being,
but I don't know.
This one's been in the works for a long time.
It has, yeah. Does it look good?
It does. I mean, you know, it's a question.
You got
of,
to play this
I,
game.
I did. So I was actually playing the scenario that was in their last presentation, which was a hostage situation. You're a android coming in to try to defuse the situation. A android's gone rogue, killed somebody, and is holding a little girl hostage. So you are kind of a negotiator slash detective where you come in and you piece together what happened and you use that information to try to save the girl. So that was the video that they showed last time. It's actually playable now. I mean, the first thing that you notice is this game is gorgeous. It looks amazing. All that stuff that you see in these videos is playable, and it looks like that. If you remember, the first time that we met, we both had a moment with the Order 1886 where, like, it faded out of a cutscene and into gameplay, and we both sat there, and it took us a second. And that happened the same thing. Yeah, kind of
like, hey, I remember, like, flagging somebody down, like, hey, this thing's stuck. Game's not moving.
Yeah, it's like, no, move.
Is this cutscene supposed to keep going?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, just go press forward. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I had this exact same moment with this game, and it looks better than that. Like, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous game. The mm-hmm. gameplay is...
Well, most of their games are.
Yeah, and it's just a question of if you enjoy that sort of gameplay where you're... It's
and kind
of,
is it that sort of gameplay where it's like, press Y or press triangle to make this decision, mm-hmm. and then it plays out in front of you? Is it sort of...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like this was... Or? You had some agency in terms of, you know, deciding what you looked at and what you pieced together. Obviously, this is a small, tailored demo. But, you know, if you put everything together, you could actually watch in real time as your odds of defusing the situation went up or down. Like, I wasted some time talking to someone, and so my odds went down. And it said, you know, I've only got a 48% chance of saving the girl. But then if I took the time to investigate the body of the man that he shot and put together exactly what happened, or if I found this, you know, picture in the corner, the odds went up. And as I was talking to him, the odds would go up or down if I made the right choice, which I did actually really well. So I ended up defusing the situation quite perfectly. But it was pretty tense just, you know, trying to figure out what to say. I had to... use information that I had gathered in the investigation to talk to him and figure out, you know, why is he doing what he's doing and how can I defuse the situation. So I really enjoy that type of gameplay. So I think if you bought into any of the Quantic Dream games in the past, you should definitely be watching for this. We've seen how they've had good ideas fall apart in the past, so I don't know if this will necessarily be a hit, but I'm looking forward to it.
They certainly have their fans. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about that.
Yep.
And they do make beautiful games. It's, like you said, comes back to if you enjoy that sort of gameplay, that sort of cinematic approach to storytelling, and then combining minimal gameplay elements into...
Yeah, it's still kind of a
in their game.
Still kind of a choose your own adventure sort of deal, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good looking Telltale game.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah.
That was not in VR, but a lot of the other stuff you saw was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sony is really, really still pushing VR, and I think
that's
a good sign. I think, you know, a lot of people after 2016 didn't necessarily bring about a VR revolution. We're kind of writing it off, but I you know me, I'm a big VR fan. I think that it's definitely cemented itself as a necessary part of gaming that maybe still needs a lot of work. And Sony is really, really pushing it. I mean, they still had a standalone VR section. There were a lot of games that had, you know, VR as an option, including Gran Turismo Sport, which is what I played. And then I also played mm-hmm. The Inpatient, which was a kind of a psychological horror VR game.
Okay. This Gran Turismo Sport, this is the new...
This is the new Gran Turismo. And am I crazy, or is Gran Turismo not generating the excitement that it used to? Like, new Gran Turismo games were a big deal back in the day.
I mean, as far back as Gran Turismo 5, yeah. And then they released, like, Gran Turismo 5 took a very long time to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, between when, like, 4 and 5 came out, Forza made a quantum leap in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And how realistic it got for Microsoft's games. And, I mean, I think, those driving games in general, like, aren't as popular anymore,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's part to do with it, like how
uh,
just kind of went down with Microsoft and Forza.
Yeah,
but,
well, I mean, he actually. I mean,
there's still big games for Sony fans. That, I mean, that's really the only option there. You know, they tried to throw Drive Club in the mix, but Gran Turismo is the simulator of of the platform. So, you know, it is their Forza. Microsoft's essentially launching a new console on the back of a driving game. I see people probably going out and getting this Gran Turismo Sport. For some reason, I was thinking it was a numbered game. It's not?
No, it's just Gran Turismo Sport, and I think that that's a part of the problem. I think it's not. It is the new Gran Turismo. In fact, they're billing it as a new generation of Gran Turismo. There was a presentation with the creator of Gran Turismo, whose name escapes me because I've been running around like crazy.
Kazunori Yamauchi.
I believe so. Yeah, perfect. And you know, he's talking about this game in very big terms, and he actually kind of called out the competition and said, Gran Turismo. What makes Gran Turismo stand out? And he's like, the quality. It is the quality of the game and the quality of everything. And he's talking about how the car models are built to last a decade. Like, he's like, outside of the official manufacturer schematics, these are the most detailed out there. Like, this is the new Gran Turismo, and it is a big game, and I don't think that they're selling it like they should. I don't think that the excitement is generating, but maybe we'll get there. I know that there's been, like you said, you know, there was a lot of time between games, and I think that's true of this one as well. And there was a demo?
Well, there wasn't that long. There was a demo out. But see, they're coming out and saying that because after they did take all that time to release GT5, there were some problems, and they only like modeled half of the cars. They did a lot of good things, and I like the game. Like, the driving of that game feels fantastic. The interiors of the cars that they did do were great. They had like some real last gen shit sort of shadows. And like weird things that people like with real attention to detail kind of looked at and went, this is not quite what I expected from Polyphony and, you know, seven years of development time or however long it took. So it might have lost some of its luster. I get why they would be coming out and really trying to hammer home, like, yep, these are detailed. We put a lot more work into this. I didn't play Gran Turismo 6, so I'm not sure. But from my understanding, that game, you know, brought things forward from GT5 in a good way.
Well, actually, so I got to play it.
I expect GT7 to be like that as well.
Yeah, I got to play it non-VR for a little bit and then in VR. It was good. You know me, I'm not a huge racing fan. I'm especially not a huge racing fan for simulations. But it was actually kind of fun. I was getting into it. The VR was really, really cool. Obviously, the graphics quality goes down pretty hard. You can't have lifelike cars in VR just yet. But it was cool just being able to be in the driver's seat, and I mean, I was using probably a $300+ wheel where it, you know, it reacted to everything. But even without that, it was really cool to be able to, like, I was genuinely using my mirrors to track people behind me, and
you're
everything
like looking
like
over your shoulder. And I've played Drive Club like that. And even on the PlayStation VR, even though it doesn't have the fidelity, you get the feeling because you've got that force feedback wheel going on, and then you've got the it's definitely immersing for sure.
But I mean, overall, I was going into Gran Turismo Sport like, not super excited, and I came out a little bit more excited. I don't know that I'm gonna get into it just because it isn't really my kind of game.
I got a little bit more excited.
I saw how sim racing fans would be very excited for that game. I think seeing a few of the videos and seeing some of the gameplay, it was gorgeous. It was pretty cool.
I think no matter what platform you're on, well, aside from Nintendo, you know, you're going to have a good racing game this year. Gran Turismo Sport or Forza 7.
Yeah.
So, and then you also played some other VR stuff?
Yeah, the Inpatient, which was, you know, just part of the big showcase.
That's an extension off of Until Dawn?
No, it's a standalone title. Actually, seeing the trailer, I thought it was Outlast, because the doctor looks very much like the doctor from Outlast. But no, it's a completely standalone game. It was the one where people didn't have faces.
It is 60 years before Until Dawn.
Really? Wait, the Inpatient is part of Until Dawn?
I guess it's part of the universe.
That's weird. I did not even put that together.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Hmm.
Takes you to, you are a patient in the Blackwood Sanatorium.
Yep.
60 years prior to the award-winning Until Dawn.
All right.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't tie, you know, in the demo, it doesn't tie to Until Dawn, at least as far as I know. But it was cool. Right. It was really trippy. It wasn't scary for the first like 10 minutes, and then the last 2 minutes went completely insane, and so it was pretty impactful there at the end.
You're probably the doctor who then becomes the doctor in Until Dawn.
Mm.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing. Because that doctor was kind of fucked up, and this is what made him fucked up.
That does make sense.
Hmm. Speculation. Was it good?
It was, yeah. I mean, PSVR keeps impressing me with its games, and I think it's because Sony is just putting so much effort into it and putting a lot of money into it. So the games that come out, I mean, the game looked good, especially for a PSVR game. Did it play well? It was a little iffy. There were some control issues, but I don't really want to judge it too much on that. I'm hoping there are control options. The representative that they had there wasn't sure. She thought that it was the only control option in the game, but I doubt it because it wasn't very great. So I would hope that they have other options in there. But just in terms of the storytelling and the way that it works, was really cool. You have different dialogue options, and you know, depending on how you choose them, the characters' reactions are a bit different. And then when it goes crazy, it goes really crazy, and it was pretty scary.
Was Spider-Man playable out there?
No, they're only doing video demonstrations, and unfortunately, I did not get into one due to scheduling issues.
I'm guessing they got to be letting people play Spider-Man.
I don't think so, man. I think that there were a lot of stuff. I mean, I was in that PR area. The only playable stuff there was Gran Turismo, Detroit, and a couple of other smaller games. And then they had a couple of theaters.
That doesn't seem very good. Well, I guess that sounds about right, though, because they didn't have too many games that were out this year, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think a lot of these games are.
Are they letting people play the? Yeah, the DLC for Uncharted or.
There's something with that. I saw some people walking around with bags for that. I don't know that it was playable. I'm guessing it's another theater presentation. They have a lot of theaters in their booth. Most of the playable stuff.
Yeah, they've been doing that for the last few years.
Yeah.
Was it just completely ridiculous to try and get on a kiosk and play a game that you're just like, oh, I want to see that?
It definitely was. Sony has been using an app for scheduling everything. So aside from smaller titles, you just can't get in anything. Like 5 minutes after opening, everything is scheduled.
Yeah,
and
I was
that's
reading
it.
Like Destiny had a line to play it.
I talked to someone.
Destiny on PC had a line to play it that was closed within the first like 3 minutes before the conference opened.
I talked to someone who waited 2 hours to play Destiny 2. Walking through the Microsoft area, they're so jammed in, and the lines, I mean, the lines weren't long, but they were all capped. It was all people standing there with a line saying, you know, queue temporarily closed.
The Dish doesn't sound like a great experience. I mean, I know that for some people, it's like, oh, I finally get to go to E3. This will be awesome. But like going there like that seems like it would just be horrible.
It's a little
doesn't
much.
Doesn't seem like it would be fun.
You've got to kind of get out, and you're not going to get into a Microsoft game, a Nintendo game, or a Sony game unless that's your whole day. So, to people sitting at home saying, do I want to go to E3 2018 if they let the public in? I love conventions, and I would probably say no. I would say try PAX. PAX is better.
Yeah. That doesn't sound
hopefully
good.
They get their act together, though. I mean, this is the first year, so, you know, we'll see. There's also just not a lot of big stuff this year. Like we said, you know, E3 2017 is just not the best year for the show. Nintendo's packed because they have Mario. Everything else is
and
packed.
And they're letting people play Mario just right on a kiosk? Is that...
So I was in the press area. I barely got to see the booth, but I'm sure people were able to play it. It's not like kiosks. There's a big line. There's a very big line.
Right. It's just not walk up and play or people would be fist fighting.
Yeah, that place is packed.
Yeah, I saw a picture. I mean, I was just, you know, looking on Twitter and looking at pictures people were taking. It just like seemed just crowded at every turn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It seemed like people were, you know, 100 deep at the treehouse.
Yes.
You know, like just watching the thing. It's like, what the fuck? But anyway, I guess it's like, well, I've got nothing else to do. I might as well sit here and watch this stream I could watch while I'm at home. You were in the press area for Nintendo. Yeah. You got a chance to play a couple of games. So mm-hmm. I guess let's start with Rabbids.
Oh, Mario and Rabbids?
Mario.
I was
Mario plus
genuinely
Rabbids.
Impressed by this game. So it was announced Monday. If you had asked me Sunday, I would have said, hard pass. Not going to be interested in this
hard
game.
Pass.
Hard pass. As of Monday, I was marginally interested in it after that announcement. I was solidly interested in it. And now that I've played it, it is a good game. It really is Mario combined with XCOM. And it works really well. It's a lot of fun. It's not hardcore, you know. It's not a hard strategy game. You're not going to... all of my shots, I think, were 50, 75, or 100%, or 0%. You're not going to have missed shots where you're, like, right next to the person like XCOM. You're not... Your guys aren't going to die and have horrible
injuries.
It's not
a punishing game.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, like, a rest in peace, Princess Peach. She didn't make it through this this mission.
Yeah. But, it was a lot of fun. Just, like, it was easy to control with the stick. There was a lot of little touches. As they pointed out, you can use your teammates to move further. So, like, if Mario is halfway across the map and you want to get past that, you can go to Mario and he will fling you further. And there's a lot of cool strategies of, like, you can get a hit on enemies just by running up to them. And so you can plan out a route where you hit them and then move and get into cover and then fire at them.
Okay.
And, it gets pretty deep. Right near the end, they added techniques, which are kind of just power-ups and abilities. Like, Mario has Hero Sight, which is Oversight. You know, if any enemies come moving into the area, he will fire at them as they move. And then other abilities like healing and stuff like that. So that started to get added near the end. But yeah, I mean, otherwise it was just, it was a genuinely fun game.
The audiences for that game.
Me.
Is it a multi? I mean, is there like, you?
Like,
is older, it multiplayer?
Older or? Nintendo fans, I think, is the audience for that game. No, I don't.
So you're impressed by that?
Yeah, yeah. It's a single player, you know, campaign with worlds and levels.
And the other thing you got to play in there was
Game of the Show, Super Mario Odyssey.
Game of the Show, really?
Is it? I mean, yeah.
First day.
It's. I mean, what else is going to be?
I think
be
every
here?
Year you would be like Zelda, Game of the Show. Yeah. Super Smash Brothers, Game of the Show. Ever since you guys came on
these
this website.
These are all true.
Nintendo, Game of
these
the Show.
These are all true.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Statements.
It's ridiculous.
You're implying that they're wrong, but they're actually
I'm implying
right.
that you're biased, and implications are correct.
So, I mean, is it Game of the Show? I don't know. It was a really...
Tell me something bad about it.
The most powerful console, and you can tell. The game is good looking. The
tell
art style.
Tell me something
great.
Bad about the game. The mechanics. Something you didn't
that's,
like.
That's not gonna. It's a mainline Nintendo Mario game. That's it, they don't have that many bad mechanics. It just doesn't happen.
But so there's nothing. It's perfect.
No. That's I was getting it. I was getting into a problem, but it's not going to be in the mechanics. Nintendo fine tunes these Mario games. I mean, come on, what else? that's just what they're known for.
Okay.
Like the new hat. The new hat mechanic is cool and fun.
Isn't that this the main mechanic of the game?
The hat. I mean, really, it's a platformer. The hat is just kind of the add-on that they use to justify it being a sequel. Because they always have to add something fun. That's just... Nintendo, for some reason, doesn't think that they can just make a sequel. They always have to have something that totally...
What is this game a sequel to?
Just Mario. It's Mario Galaxy, I guess, but not really because it's more of the sandbox style. So I guess Mario Sunshine. Was Mario Sunshine the last sandbox style Mario game? I think so.
Well, isn't it Mario 3D and Mario Sunshine are the two?
Mario Sunshine was the GameCube game. Mario 3D was the Wii U game. 3D World? And the Galaxy were the Wii games.
What was the first 3D Mario? Wasn't there
Super Mario 3D Land,
one?
And then Super Mario 3D World? Like that was a different style of Mario game. This is classic Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, sandbox, semi-open world Mario. And I mean
you had some fun with it.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's a gorgeous game. It has, you know, like I said, Switch is not the most powerful console, but Nintendo has ways of fudging it, and you can see some of the rough edges, but only if you're looking real close. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, they added some cool new stuff, like you can use your hat to take over enemies. The 2D to 3D thing is really, really cool. I don't know if you saw that in the trailer. But going into 2D and having classic 8-bit Mario and then coming out of a warp pipe and back into 3D Mario is really, really cool.
I think I saw something like that on the trailer. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
too
you
closely.
Weren't paying very close attention to that Nintendo thing because that, whew, that was a good show. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm a Nintendo fan, but genuinely, like, I went into this presentation with low expectations, and they far surpassed them. If I had went in with high expectations,
I think we have it on the tape that says that you that did not have low expectations, that you would, regardless of what they showed, you said that they had a very easy road,
well,
in your opinion.
They did.
I'll just quote you. I think I wrote, very easy road to being the best presentation at E3.
Both of these things
just by
are
showing
true,
Mario. Though.
Yes.
Just by showing Mario. Just by showing a JPEG of Metroid title screen. Just by some guy going, "We are making new Pokemon games." The end.
Yeah.
Which they just fucking shoehorned in there to please people like you to have say Nintendo won. They won everything. With something that we already knew about, have already seen a little bit of.
What,
and
we have not,
a JPEG of something that maybe is something, maybe it's not. And a little clip of this guy who makes Pokemon with some stuffed animals promising.
We knew Pokemon was coming to Switch. We did not know that it was going to be a main core title. That's what we were hoping. And so that news is big news. And then Metroid Prime 4, I can't even explain how big that is. I know it's just a JPEG. It's just a quick little video that says the game is under development. But you know what? That's what CG trailers are. That Beyond Good and Evil trailer yesterday, that was. It was just cost $3 million to make.
And Nintendo going for it. Big time. They're like, you know what? We could really... Well, let's not even put any effort into this shit. Can you... Reggie, do you know how to use Photoshop? Get on there. Get on there and give me a Metroid Prime 4.
Just that they're supporting the Metroid series like that is big.
No, you know, I say all these this bullshit about Nintendo because I don't care, but I understand what they're doing here, and this is probably one of the more important cycles for them. They're hitting it.
They are definitely Rocket League? Did I mention Rocket League for Switch? Yes.
Yeah, I think I saw you poop yourself on Discord. Rocket League.
They see.
All right, I'm not even looking at this thing anymore. Kyle is definitely paying attention.
They see an opportunity with Switch, like they had with the Wii, and they are taking advantage.
I think they're seeing people say to themselves, you know, I mean, I've even said to myself, I wouldn't mind being able to play my games on the couch
mm-hmm.
with on a handheld.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily a in-transit sort of thing, on a bus, in a car sort of thing. I wouldn't mind playing something in bed. You know, I've seen people out there being like, bring every game to Switch.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Because I want to play it like this. Now, are there some things about the Nintendo Switch that I don't necessarily get, like propping my Switch on... Like I don't know anything and
the kickstand
giving
you
somebody,
don't like the kickstand
giving, yeah the kickstand and giving somebody half of a controller and saying let's play some games.
I think you'd be surprised. It actually works really well.
I don't doubt that it works, but I don't know that it can offer the same sort of experience. It was such a tiny screen.
Oh well, yeah. It's not like, hey guys, come over. I'm going to put this on the table and we're going to play.
It's that part of it seems more novel. The handheld aspect of it feels more functional. And then the at home aspect of it just seems like the core experience.
Yes. Yeah. I think you nailed it.
If that makes any sense. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge, huge fan of like motion controls. So when you start describing to me like, oh, well, this cool looking fighting game has these motion controls that work okay, but they're not that great, you know.
Yeah, but they've taken a hard step back from motion controls. They still support them, but like I said, with arms, mm-hmm. like you don't have to use them. In fact, I didn't except as much as I felt that I needed to for the review, and then I was like, okay, get me back to the standard controls.
Right.
Mario had some motion controls, but it was like flick to do this maneuver. It wasn't like you motion to move or anything that you're doing a lot of. So I think that they understand now that motion can be an additive thing, but it's not an experience by itself, except for very select scenarios.
Yep. So, all right, here we go. Attackofthefanboy.com. Nintendo wins again, everyone. And I would foresee if I stop going to E3, Nintendo will
win
every year.
You know that presentation was the best. It had to be. Sony and Microsoft were both.
I mean, I don't know.
Dull stuff that we already think
Metroid,
knew about.
You got me all thinking about Metro.
Metro was awesome. It's a multi-platform game.
Metro looked like a very, very cool.
I love the Metro series. I'm very good looking for Metro. I really wish it was playable here. Game. It's not.
Yeah, I don't want to keep harping on it because I really don't care who wins or loses E3. You can give it to Nintendo every year. I don't care.
I wouldn't have given it to Nintendo the first year. No, the first year that we came here, aside from Splatoon, I don't remember that they had anything.
I'm pretty sure you liked Star Fox or whatever
Star Fox was not good. Star Fox was Mario Maker was good.
Mario Maker, Splatoon.
E3 2015.
I don't see anything else like that. I don't see anything else like that.
Somebody will have to pull that up and let me know. I probably did say that.
You probably did. I'm pretty sure we have archived podcasts from E3's past.
And I wouldn't say
Nintendo won.
I hope I didn't say that Nintendo won last year. They had the best game because it was Zelda Breath of the Wild.
You did say Nintendo won last year because of Breath of the Wild.
I said Breath of the Wild was the best game. I bet I said Sony won because that was a fucking awesome presentation that they gave.
I mean, there's a difference between having the best conference and, like, winning.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so fucking crazy now where everything is. You probably didn't even hear some of the things that were announced because they're, like, announcing things mm-hmm. on streams and doing stuff. Like, they had different Metroid games. Mm-hmm. And
I got a text about the Metroid game.
They announced, Super Mario and Luigi, some game. I don't even know. They're announcing stuff, like, that's not in the press conference. They're showing stuff and saying stuff and offering, the exposition and details about the games on streams. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think E3's even worth going to anymore.
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't know. We'll see what happens, how I feel when I get home after this.
Oh, you'll want to go again.
Probably.
I'll want to go next year. I do kind of miss it. I don't miss the lines, but, I mean, the stuff that I like, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't mind going. And I'd probably appreciate Gran Turismo Sport more than you.
Yes, you would have. Yeah, I felt bad playing it, honestly, just because I'm like, this just isn't, it's not my game, but I can feel that this is, this is a good game. It is.
I would love to get my hands on with Destiny 2. I would love mm-hmm. to play some Call of Duty.
I'll be playing both of those
tomorrow. I
would love
to play some Wolfenstein. Like those are games that are stuff that I like.
Yeah.
Shadow of War, I really, really wouldn't mind getting my hands on that. I don't know if you have an appointment with Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah, Thursday morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of games at E3 that I would not mind, seeing and getting hands on with or getting some more information about before they come out. So E3 has always been and will always be good for that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm having fun so far. But yeah, I do feel that this year isn't quite holding up to previous years, whether it's because there are 15,000 screaming fans clogging all of the hallways or Just that this is an off year for the big
and are
game
they
makers.
Like
I don't know.
Are they wearing costumes and shit? I mean, like,
I saw a minimal amount of cosplay. So yes,
there was some cosplay.
Before there was no cosplay because it's a very business atmosphere. I've seen a couple of costumes, but it is not a lot. It's not taken over. It's not become PAX yet.
Okay.
Which I love cosplay. Cosplay.
You got some
fun,
cosplay. You probably have a lot of like loot bandits who are running around trying to get as many T-shirts and pins and other shit as they can find and carry on their person.
I mean, you know how they've locked that stuff down. It used to be that you walked by a booth and they tossed a T-shirt at you. Now it's you've got to wait in this hour-long line, player 10-minute demo, and then you get a T-shirt. So yeah, people want. Yeah. The swag, but they've got to work for it. They have Mario hats, and I didn't get one because they didn't have it in the press area, and I'm very upset about that.
Well, this is the shortest of your 3 days.
Yep.
And you knocked out the two bigger platform holders.
Yep.
The rest will be third party in Microsoft going forward.
Well, I mean, Microsoft was during the showcase. I don't have any Microsoft appointments. But honestly, I mean, aside from Sea of Thieves and Crackdown 3, they don't have anything of interest on the floor.
I don't like the sound of that. But, yeah, I mean, you already got a chance to put hands on with those two. Yeah, so that was day one for Kyle for attackofthefanboy.com. You can catch up on our news, the stuff that we've been keeping up with on the site at attackofthefanboy.com in our written stuff. You'll find this podcast there as well. You'll find it on iTunes, Google Play, possibly YouTube. We'll have some video content up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack. And for Kyle, thank you, Kyle, for braving
sure thing.
The sea of fans at E3 2017 to bring us your impressions of video games.
Yep.
And for Kyle, I'm William for Attack of the Fanboy. Thanks for listening.